us will be in Matthew chapter 1. So if you'll turn to Matthew 1 as the children will be dismissed, stand with me, we'll read our text, Matthew 1. Let's begin in verse 1. I'm not going to read all of the genealogy here, but I want to show you something, and then our text is 18 through the end of the chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. If you're there, say amen. Okay, look at verse 1. It says, the book of the generations, or of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And so basically what Matthew is doing is he's giving a genealogy as it relates to Jesus Christ being the son of David and the son of Abraham. Now, for any Jew, that would have been mission critical. It'd been very important that Jesus had that lineage, that he was a legitimate Messiah. And when we preach in Matthew, we started in the book of Matthew 10 years ago when we first moved here and preached through the book of Matthew. The very first sermon that I did out of Matthew was this message, and that was this, that Jesus has all of the necessary paperwork to be a legitimate Messiah. In other words, he has the lineage, everything that's necessary for him to be a legitimate Savior of the world. He had it. That's the nature of the genealogy. Now we fast forward to verse number 18, and we get some details about his birth. The Bible says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. By the way, it's hard to read that verse and come to any other conclusion than that Jesus is God. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. It's a beautiful story of the birth of Christ, that he was born of a virgin. But amazingly about this story, that there is a focus on the character of Joseph through this process. And we're going to focus in on that. And I think it's really going to be a help to us this morning. So let's pray. Father, I pray your help again this morning as we declare your word, that it would be your word and not ours. Guide us in your path. Help us to have faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Christmas has a tendency for some to be a very emotional time. And what do I mean by that? Well, I mean the emotions could be good and positive or negative, right? So in the sense that we look forward to Christmas, you know, we look forward to the presents, we look forward to maybe not the first thing that should be on our mind, but if the kids were in here, I guarantee you most of the hands that went up this morning when I said if you got up early, it was the children because they're excited about Christmas, right? About the gifts. And so we have that side, the emotions that are related to that. We get to see family. We get to have that kind of fellowship. Sometimes we see family we haven't seen for a long time. And so there's those emotions. The emotion of just considering that Jesus came and he died on the cross to pay for our sins. If we're thinking right, then we'll be emotional about that and thankful, won't we? But then there's the not so positive emotions that sometimes come to our mind and at times make Christmas for some to not be such an exciting time. For some, Christmas reminds us of disappointments. Sometimes it reminds us of hard things. It reminds us of hard things in the past. Sometimes it reminds us of, it just brings back, a feeling of loneliness. You know, they say Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year. Seems like I've heard a song about that for the past month, almost every day, right? But for some, it's not. For some, Christmas is, I can't wait till it's over. It's sort of like the most lonely time of the year. And so you have emotions over here, and they would be positive, and then you have emotions over here, and they would be negative. And so Christmas has a way of bringing those emotions up. Our text this morning is about a man named Joseph who would have had both of those emotions all in one day because he learned something that would have been surprising to him. He would have needed to immediately deal with emotions that he wasn't prepared for. Now, in Bible times, the way people got engaged to be married isn't quite, especially in Israel, isn't quite what we would understand today in our American culture. Which, you know, today it seems like in our American culture there's not a whole lot of commitment as it relates to marriage, it seems anymore. And so that even that ceremonial side and that commitment side of marriage, it seems in the culture that we live in today is sort of even going away, isn't it? All the way back in Bible times, and in Israel in particular, the way that a couple would get married to each other was more of an agreement at the first. An agreement between who? Well, there would have been an agreement between the mom and dad and the mom and dad of the families. And so you would have families that would come together, and there would be a kind of mutual agreement in the family for a marriage between a son and a daughter. And so there was this kind of paternal aspect of couples getting married in Bible time. You know, I used to wonder, how interesting it would be today if it still sort of worked that way. Might be, I don't know how it would work out. But that's how it was. So when Mary and Joseph, the Bible says they were espoused to be married, it would have been like a legal arrangement that was made. It was like the paperwork was filled out. The families got together. Now, I'm not saying that there wasn't an interest there and a love there between Joseph and Mary, and that relationship and that understanding, you know, would have produced those kind of feelings, I'm sure. And so there would have been that expectation and that love and the building kind of love in an espousal period. But we need to understand at a basic level, this was an agreement that was made. This phrase, this concept of an engagement isn't like we would understand it today. It was a legal agreement where paperwork was filled out. And like somebody would sign the dotted line on this agreement between these families. So you would have this legal arrangement where they would be legally become married to each other. Now that's an interesting thing that we don't fully understand, and I think in our day-to-day, is that engagements in Bible times aren't like engagements in our culture today. You get engaged to somebody, you can just do that verbally. Somebody could walk up to you and say, "Will you marry me?" And if you know them well enough and you love them or something, or maybe not, I don't know, you just say, "Yes, I don't know you, but this is going to be great." You know, you could just make a verbal commitment, but there's no real strings attached to that. How many times has there been verbal engagements that have been made and then broken? And there's emotions that are affected, but there's no loss of property because an engagement was broken off. You might lose the ring or some sort of a possession that way, but you're not going to lose like your car or something. Well, this agreement would have made them legally married, connected to each other before they actually came together. So it was an espousal period that had legal ramifications to it. It was more than just a verbal, "Will you marry me?" This is an agreement that was made. And it was for a year. It was commonly known that in the law it was written that there would be an agreement that would last for a year before the proper ceremonial marriage took place. So you would get engaged to somebody legally, bound to them, legally married to them, but not fully married to them yet. You don't live together yet. So there's this commitment that's made, but it's not fully committed yet. What do you mean? There's no sexual relationship yet. They don't live together. But they're married to each other, legally. Okay? So she still lives with mom and dad. He still lives, perhaps, with mom and dad or in his situation. And they don't live together, and they're pure in that sense. They haven't come together. They haven't known each other in that way. Now, why for a year? Because it was a trial period. This year was a trial period. Of what? To prove the purity of the one you were going to marry. So you would make arrangements for the marriage. You would prepare the home, prepare the family, make all of the arrangements physically to take care of a family. You would build a relationship with the one through that engagement period, and that emotional attachment would develop and be there. But then you would be in a trial of purity for an entire year that you would get to the end of it, and you had been pure for that year. And now you can move into your marriage relationship. However, watch this. If you were in some point during that 1 year period of engagement found to be impure, then you had legal grounds of whenever you cancel the marriage? Annulment. I want to say divorce because that's a technical term too, but annulment's the proper term. You could annul the marriage, and you could do it legally because your spouse, your partner, the one you were going to be married to, was impure, was unfaithful to you. And so that was the scenario leading into this. Now, when we read this text, we know the full story. We know that Mary had been visited. We know that Joseph didn't know that. And so coming into the knowledge, Joseph that is, that Mary was with child, he would not have known that she was with child of the Holy Ghost. He would not have known that. And so, can you imagine the emotions that would have affected him at coming to the understanding that his wife-to-be in the espousal period had been unfaithful? The emotions would have been hot. Take a look at it in verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Okay? When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, now that word espoused, that's what we just described. It was this period of time of engagement legally, but they hadn't come together yet, physically. Before they came together, that is, physically, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. So that's his character. We know that's his character because of what he's going to do, how he's going to deal with this. You know, it's like we hear, it's hot water situation. The tea bag and the hot water, we've said that before. It's not the hot water's fault. The hot water was just the device or the tool that was used to draw the tea out of the bag. You know how we know we sometimes don't have the character that we should have? It's not your tough situation. Your tough situation isn't at fault. That tough situation is the hot water that drew out of you what was already in you. You just needed something tough to draw it out of you. Well, this is a tough situation for Joseph. And we're going to find out his character, that he's a just man, because of this hard situation that he's going through. The emotions would have been high. He would have struggled because he had committed himself to this young lady, and during the espousal period, he would have found that she was with child, and not knowing that she was child of the Holy Ghost, it would have had an emotional effect on him. Now, how does sometimes we get affected when things don't go the way that we think that they should go? We get angry. We get frustrated. If he would have been maybe any number of typical men in situation like this, an outburst of anger might have been the response. Items might have been broken. Words might have been spewed in anger. And venomous words spewed in anger at the knowledge of what he just found out. But the Bible says he was a just man. What's that mean? Well, it doesn't mean that he was a good guy. It means that he wanted to do it right. He wanted to handle this the right way. Now, even with that, there's biblical precedent that's been laid in Leviticus and Deuteronomy that shows how situations like this are to be handled. And so there's a legal approach to this, which he would have wanted it to be done right. So what he could have done is he could have taken his legally connected to him espoused wife, who had been unfaithful as far as he knew in that moment, to the court in the gate where legislation took place, according to the word of the law, and by the way, many traditions of the day too. Things had been twisted up in this day. And he could have taken her there, turned her over to the court, and said, do with her what is legally coming to her. What would that have been? She would have been dragged out of the town, outside of city walls. She would have been thrown in a hole, and she would have been stoned to death. Well, the Bible says in our text that he wanted it done right, but as he's considering doing that, he wasn't wanting her to be stoned. He wouldn't have wanted her to have that legal consequence. So what does he do? Well, what does it say that is? Look at our next verse. It says, verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example. So that's what he didn't want to happen, is that she would have become a public stoning example of this sin that he assumed. So what was he? He was minded to put her away privately. So this is what he was considering. Can you with me just for a minute sort of try to wrap your mind around the process here that's going on in his mind? Like, one day he's excited about his wife-to-be. He's making arrangements for the housing and for, you know, just their future together. Suddenly he finds out she's with child, and he has to decide how he's going to deal with this. His emotions are taking him from here, from one extreme to the other. And we just read it in one verse. His emotion is taken, well, I want to make sure that I do this right. I don't want to explode in anger and just sort of lose it. I don't want to do that. I want to do it right, but I understand if I take her and make her a public example, she could be stoned to death, and I don't want that to happen. So he's minded the Bible. He's considering that. But then he comes over and he's minded, the Bible says, to put her away privately. The next verse says, and as he thought on these things. That is so wise, isn't it? The Bible says it's like he just sits down. Takes a big breath. That is so powerful. It means that he didn't do a knee-jerk thing. Have you ever done a knee-jerk? You ever knee-jerked before? How great is it in the... You should note this. Put this on the forefront of your mind. Write this on the table of your heart, okay? Are you ready? In the heat of the moment, he... ... In the heat of the moment, he... You know what almost never gets written after those three dots? Something good. Like, he's emotional, and he's stirred, and he's angry, and he's disappointed. He's hurt, crushed. The emotions are extreme. And in the heat of the moment, he... You know what you almost never see? In the heat of the moment, he just stopped and thought about it for a while. We would be wise to, in the heat of the moments of life, pause and just consider what we're going to say and do for a while. He wasn't hasty. He wasn't moved by or controlled by his emotions. The Bible says that he stopped and he thought about it. That's super. It's great. Why? Because it gave time for God to speak to his heart. You know, we need God to calm us down sometimes, don't we? God, I need your help because I'm so stirred up. I'm angry and happy. And girl, ladies, you know how it is, right? Like you get your emotions just get out of control. And guys, we just sort of, we got to throw something, you know? I remember one time I was so frustrated, I went out in the backyard and just threw a brick. I mean, it wasn't at somebody. I just threw a brick. I feel better. You know, or take a baseball bat and just hit the ground. I don't know. You feel like maybe there's a release there, ladies? Well, I don't know. If you throw bricks, it probably is at somebody. So you just cry, right? Because you don't know how to deal with the emotions. You just sort of cry. And we have emotions that I think sometimes are so extreme that if we're not careful and if we're not mindful, if we don't pause in our haste, we will, in the heat of the moment, do something that we will regret. I know that's true because we've all done it. And at times, we allow our emotions to cause us to make decisions that are so foolish for us in life. Lead us down a path that we will regret because we're letting our emotions control what we do, our feelings. There was a young man who fell in love with this young lady, which, by the way, isn't an abnormal thing. It's pretty normal for guys to fall in love with young lady. So they started to date each other and they were interested in each other. And they, you know, he was thinking, I want to get married to this girl. But he found out after a while, the closer that they got, and the more frustrated they got because they weren't married yet. It's when you get involved in premarital relationships, then you're going to hit the wall of frustration because God never designed it to be that way. And they hit that wall. And he wanted to take that next step. He wanted to move forward with this young lady. And she said, hey, I'm going to need to put the brakes on this. In fact, it got so tough for her. At one point, she said this, okay, listen, I'm out. She broke up with him. And the emotion of that breakup for him was so devastating. It took him low. It's a young man that I knew. Low. So then on a very low moment, in the heat of the moment, he took his own life. And he's gone. He's not with us today. Why? Because in the heat of the moment, So it can be really bad, can't it? Did you know your emotions can control you if you'll let them? Your emotions can control you if you let them. And they'll take you low. They'll take you all the way to destruction if you'll let them. Because that's the nature of our heart. We get so deceived and we don't even realize. We're so deceived we don't think we're deceived. That our heart tells us things and leads us through our feelings and our emotions. Joseph was in a tough situation here. And he could have allowed his emotions to lead him to do any number of things to deal with this. But you know what he did? He stopped and he thought and he considered, what is the right move here? I mean, I have this public example. I have this put her away privately. I don't even want to do that. I don't know what to do. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to pause. I'm just going to wait. And I'm just going to think about this for a time. Maybe we could say it like this. You know, it would be wise to do, to stop, instead of in the emotions of the moment, in the heat of our feelings, doing something and making decisions in those times, but to stop and to pray and to consider, God, what is it maybe that you might want me to do? Where are you at in this? God, what is it that you're doing in this situation so that I don't move forward motivated by emotions and feelings, but God, that I know that I can have confidence no matter what I do, whether I feel good about it, whether I don't feel good about it, doesn't matter. God, what do you want me to do? But only time that you'll get to the place where you can know what God wants you to do is to pause and to consider it. And to pray and to think, because it was then that God visited him. Look what it says next. 20. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And all the answers he needed was given to him in one verse. What do I do with her? Well, don't be afraid, first of all. Just take her to be your wife. Well, that's answer number one. Don't put her, make her a public example. Don't put her away privately. Take her to be your wife. Answer number two, what about the situation? The child in her is of the Holy Ghost. He's the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Jesus, which means Savior. That's answer number two. So now he has everything that he needs. He's been given the information. He waited, he pondered, he didn't move with his emotions. Now look at verse number 21. Well, the Bible says, quoting all the way to verse 24, then we have reference to Elijah, or not Elijah, Isaiah. But look at verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name, and he called his name Jesus. So he had been given, he'd been given everything he needed. He'd been given the answers. God says, don't fear, take her to be your wife. And then when he awoke, knowing what God wanted him to do, he moved in obedience to the Lord. And that's what we need to do. We're going to make big mistakes in life if we let our emotions control us, won't we? We're going to make moves in life that we shouldn't make if our emotions are controlling us. We're going to say things we shouldn't say if our emotions are controlling us. You know, we get up and we go to work and we have a bad day and we get to, you know, we just have that moment at work where you're like, you know what? I can't do this anymore. Well, we've all kind of said that, I think, right? I can't do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm not going to work here anymore. And in the heat, we make a bad decision. We can't do that. What we need to do is we need to make decisions based on what we know God's doing in us. Let God be the one who navigates our life, directs us, not our emotions. Well, I really feel like I should do this. Well, hang on, what does God say? Well, I really feel, you know, strongly and emotional about this attachment. Well, hang on a second. Well, what does God say? Because God's thoughts on it and God's directions on it, it sort of trumps any emotion that we have. It does. And we need to operate that way. You are wise to operate that way. Joseph was wise to operate that way. And we're wise to operate that way. When I was a kid, I believed in Santa. Like, it was for real to me. And that's just how I grew up. My parents, my dad and my stepmom, and they made it real. So when I was little, I remember the stocking. We had these big stockings, you know, and they were empty. And we had to go to bed. We would read the Christmas story, and then every Christmas Eve, and then we'd go to bed. And, you know, of all the nights, when you're a kid, you want to stay up till 11. If you could stay up till 11, that is awesome. But, man, it's 8:30. I'm like, go to sleep, hurry, go to sleep. I want to wake up, you know. And I remember I would wake up and I'd jump on my dad's bed and we'd wake him up. It was every Christmas it was that. And we'd run out. I can vividly remember running down the hall. I'd wake all my brothers and my sister up. It's Christmas. We need to get everybody up. And before I even woke dad up, man, I ran down the hall because the living room's over here. And I would check the stockings, loaded stuff popping out of the top. He came, yes. So then I went and I woke everybody up. And then we all came in there and we got all the Christmas stuff. It was exciting. But then it was that one Christmas, you know, when the stockings were empty when we went to bed. And I was excited. I got everybody up and I ran down here to the inn. The stockings were still empty. And I just started crying. I just burst into tears. Santa Claus forgot us. He forgot us. I'm like, I for real thought he forgot our house. And then I went and told Dad, and they, oh, go to your rooms. And then I heard, and then I knew, he's not real. He's not real. So then we came out, like, guys, he came. I'm like, no, he didn't. So I came out, and I walked down the hall like this. And we opened the stockings, but it wasn't like before, ever. It was never like before. Because he wasn't real. You know? And I was so disappointed that Christmas was never the same for me after that, ever. That's the emotions of Christmas, isn't it? We have tough things and we have good things. So, last night I came to the church and I sat right there. Hi. And I just turned these lights on, and all the rest of the lights in the auditorium were off, which, by the way, that looks pretty cool. I'm just going to say. In the night, and the only lights are those just shining right on the pulpit. It was really a neat image as I was sitting there looking at it, and I was just praying. And my heart is just overwhelmed, you know. I'm like, I have all these emotions. Like, I have emotions that are just intense emotions right now. And I'm like, Lord, what is happening? What is happening? And all of these emotions just burst into tears right there last night. Now, for me, that's not like maybe for you. I don't cry very often, so bursting into tears anyway. I was just overflowed. It just, why is this happening? What is happening? God, what are you doing? And I'm thinking about all of these emotions. I'm thinking about all this stuff. I'm thinking about, you know what I'm thinking about? I'm sitting right there and I can't help myself. I'm thinking about Ava whenever she walked up here and got saved right there. I'm thinking about Zoe, and you got saved. And I'm thinking about Brother Marvin. He got saved right there. And Brother Tim in the shop down the road. I'm thinking about all of you. And my emotions are just sort of like, I can't control myself, you know? And then I said this, Lord, where are you in this? All the emotions went away. And I remember when I was sitting right there a month and a half ago, and the Lord said, Brother Chad, it's time for him to be the pastor. And I said, ooh, Lord, are you moving me? And he was working. Do you know what takes emotions and sets them where they need to be? Is when you know that you have heard from God. If you're controlled by your emotions, then you're going to be all over the place. Because that's where our emotions take us. So what we need to do is we need to set our emotions aside and just think and pray, and the Lord will give you direction. He'll guide you. And then you can move with confidence because you're following Him. And that's what matters. This morning, if God has worked in your heart and you need to be saved, this morning is the morning for you to come and to get it settled, to get saved. If he's convicting you and He is speaking to your heart, this isn't an emotional thing that's happening. It's the touch of God. When He says you need to be saved and you know you need to be saved, that's God saying, you need to come and you need to get it settled. But so often we push it off as emotions. No, that's the leadership of God. And it's time to come and get it settled, right? And then in life, when God is wanting to direct our life and guide us, in our emotions make it hard, let me encourage you to set the emotions aside and let God direct your path. That's what matters. Father, this morning we thank you for the word. that we've heard as we consider Christmas. The emotions of Christmas. And the character of this great man, Joseph. I thank you for him and for what you've done through his testimony of just not in the haste or in the heat of the moment doing something or saying something or responding in a way, but just listening for you. I pray you'd help us to be patient, to let you do your work in our life. Guide us in your path, please. I pray for those, Lord, that need to be saved this morning. Would you give them courage to come and get it settled before it's too late? And those, Lord, that have allowed their emotions to dictate and control their every move in life, would you give them courage? Give us courage this morning to set our emotions aside and listen for your voice as you guide us in your path. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for grace. And it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. If God's worked in your heart,